And we talk about this all the time, that God's got a blueprint for your life in heaven. And it's our job to seek Him and to ask Him and to follow Him and to open our hearts to the Holy Spirit and let Him reveal that plan to us. Now, the plan is going to definitely involve the Great Commission. So we need to know Matthew 28. We need to know Mark 16. We need to know Acts chapter 1. The Great Commission and co-mission, it's His mission and our mission, in a nutshell, is to reach people with the gospel and make disciples. And we've got a part to play in both of those. And so our plan, whatever God's plan for our lives, it's going to involve that. I'll tell you this, our plan is going to involve helping people and blessing people. Those are some things I know about it. I know that His plan is going to be satisfying. His plan is going to be enjoyable. His plan is going to be, and you know, you're going to be, it's going to be fulfilling. But how many know that for all of us, things can get in the way? How many know there's an enemy that wants to hinder you from fulfilling God's plan for your life? John 10:10, you know, has the purpose for the devil. His purpose, his mission, is to steal, kill, and to destroy. And he's working overtime through his demons to do those things in your life. And so even for the best of us, we can be weak, we can have a tough day, we can have a tough moment, and allow him in to do those things, stealing, killing, and destroying. And really to the point where he can even use us to do those things in others' lives. Isn't that, you know, that's hard to believe, but that can happen. But things get in the way. Look over in Mark 4. Talked about this last week. I won't go through all the parable of the sower. But in Mark 4, verse 19, I think is something that if we here at Good News Church, because of the kind of church we are, and the people that we are, and the people of faith that we are, we have to have to keep this verse before us and be reminded of it constantly, because the enemy is sneaky, and he wants to get us off track, and sometimes we'll be in church and going through the motions and actually getting off track in our lives. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be getting off track. I want to fulfill God's plan for my life. I want to fulfill that blueprint. I want, when my race is over, for Him to say to me, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, son." That's what I'm looking for. And so that's what I want. But some things can get in the way. And Mark 4, verse 19 shares some of those things. And I'm going to read this from the Amplified. It says this: "Then the cares and anxieties of the world, the distractions of the age, the pleasure and delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches, the craving and passionate desires for other things creep in and choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless." Now, for something to become fruitless means that there was fruit at one time. That's why I know that this here, what he's talking about here, I mean, the first couple types of soil, you know, you could argue maybe the first type of soil, that may not be a believer. The word's planted and Satan comes immediately, steals the word. Second type of soil is probably a new believer, and they get offended and then they fall away. But this is talking about believers that have had some success, had some miracles, seen God work in their lives, and bore fruit. Now, we can all have a discussion about what we think bearing fruit is, but really bearing fruit is having impact for the kingdom of God on this earth. So making a difference for Jesus Christ, that's bearing fruit. The world's better because you're here. And I shared this last week, but the word choke means to crowd out. And so what can happen in our lives is we can get so busy with other things, maybe even some good things, get so busy that it chokes out the word. It suffocates the word. And don't do this, but if you suffocate somebody, it's a process. It's going to take some time. It's not going to be instantaneous. And so it's going to be, you know, gradual type situation if you're suffocating. And so that, and that's the way it happens. It's kind of, you may not even recognize it at first. Sometimes you have to take some time of prayer. Someone will say something. God shows it to you in order for you to see that. How many know we have blind spots? Still to this day, I mean, I'll be driving down and got the big Suburban and I got a huge blind spot in the Suburban. And if I'm not careful, and it's happened, you know, even the last year, where I'll pull into that other lane and there's a car there and they'll honk their horn. It was in my blind spot. I've been driving for 32 years, driving for a long time. I know all the different things, and I know to look back and look in my mirror and look back over to the left there. But how many know? You could just, it happens. You have things in your blind spot. Well, we have blind spots. And sometimes we're going to need some help, the help of the Holy Spirit, to look and to be able to see what's there. And it can be, it needs to be revealed. And I really feel like we're in a season right now, and it should be all the time, but I really feel right now, because how many know God's taken us somewhere? As a church, as families, individuals, businesses, God's taken us somewhere. I've been talking to you about going to a new dimension, new places in God, open doors of ministry, all kinds of things, right, that are happening right now. And so I really think it's a time of reflection. I really think it's a time to look in the mirror. It's a time to look at our lives. And maybe the good question to ask yourself is, are you moving forward? If you know anything about, and maybe you don't, and hopefully during this service and services to come and prayer time and word time, then more of His purpose will be revealed. But if you know anything about your purpose and why you're here, are you moving toward it? That's a question you got to ask yourself. And be honest. Am I really? Look at all look at the fruit of my life. Am I bearing fruit from the kingdom? Or are the glory days in the past? Our testimony should always be fresh. If you don't have a testimony in the last week or two, I wonder what's happening in your life. He's real. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what He did 2,000 years ago, He should either be doing to you or through you. And that should be fresh. And so I really want you to be thinking about what's happening in my life right now. Am I going backwards? Am I stagnating? Am I producing any fruit for the kingdom of God? You know, all of us get comfortable. I don't think comfortable is the place we're looking. It's not the end of our race looking to be comfortable. And that's really what they say the American dream is. We want everything to be comfortable, for us to be more at ease, more luxury. That's not the end of our race. That's not why we're here, to be more comfortable. In the early church, they prayed about boldness. They were stepping out. They were doing uncomfortable things. And when they did, the power of God shows up. The more bold you are, the more miracles you're going to have. But people that are sitting back and waiting on God, I don't think that's the place He wants us to be. I know it's not. And you look through the heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, these were not sit back, be comfortable, have in sitting in the easy chair kind of people. They were faith, they're heroes of the faith. They were people that were stepping out. They were letting things go. They were moving forward. Making mistakes even. And let me ask you this, have you given up? Have you drawn back? Are your best glory days, are they in the past? Are you coming to church like today and when you wake up in the morning? Are you expectant? See, faith people are expectant. That's why I was saying early on, and you even have a hard time saying it. When I say something good's going to happen to you, you have a difficult time saying that because you don't really believe it. It's kind of quiet in here, y'all. You thinking? See, you know, faith people are expectant. Even though circumstances, the bank book, maybe their body, maybe their mate, maybe everything is telling you no, but God says go. And there's an expectancy that something good's going to happen, either to me or through me. And as you mature, you get more excited about the things that happen through you. And our mission here is empowering people to give life. We're a life-giving church. We're life givers. But you have to have life in order to give life. So certainly we teach you how to receive. And, you know, Abraham was blessed to be a blessing. We teach you how to be blessed, but we just don't stop there because selfishness can creep in. And God's not a selfish God. God's a God of love. And for God so loved the world that He gave. And in Mark 4 there, you got to watch that selfishness. It just kind of slowly creeps in. Your best giving days, your best generous days, your best days of the power of God working through you should not be in the past. It should be in the present. Amen? Amen or oh me? You remember the days when you used to cry during praise and worship? What happened to those days? Remember the days when you used to just cry or get convicted during the messages and you just, I mean, just God was just dealing with you? What happened to those days? Is He a different God? Or have you changed? Are you not as hungry as you used to be? Not as thirsty as you? Have you gotten comfortable? Have you, what, over in Revelation, you know, where it talks about the lukewarm church, have you become lukewarm? God said, I'd rather have you hot or cold. I don't want you lukewarm. You lukewarm, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. So lukewarm is not the place I want to be. But what happened to those days? What happened to those days when you were sensitive to the Holy Spirit and God would speak to you to go do something? Has God changed? Or have we changed? Have we just gotten, you know, mingled with the world and learned their ways and it's become a trap for us? You know, when we come together, I mean, it ought to be just miracles and signs and wonders in the power of God. But you know, really, when you come in here, I mean, and even I felt it today, and again, I'm not just moved by, you know, expressions, but I mean, there's just a lot of people, they're not excited about church anymore. Hello. They've gotten bored. How can we be bored? They're kind of just going through the motions, and they know the right time to raise their hands and the right time to do this and that and maybe even say all the right things at church, but deep down, they're far from God. God is real and is alive, and He's moving right now. And He wants to touch you in a deep way, but I mean, He's not going to touch somebody that doesn't want to be touched. And Susie talked about being willing and obedient. You know, you're going to have to yield yourself to God. If you're not hungry and thirsty, you won't be filled. And you remember the days when you got saved? Can you remember or have you forgotten? You remember what that was like when you got saved and that year or two or whatever of just kind of floating on the clouds? Is that in the past? Remember the days when God used you to touch others and you laid hands on the sick and they recovered? Remember the days when you were bold and you stepped out even if you made mistakes and you're willing to make a mistake and share the gospel with somebody? Remember those days you said where, you know, I'm not going to just be thinking about you when you just stepped out and prayed for the person? Do you remember those days? I don't want your glory days and our glory days to be in the past. I want you on fire. You remember when you were on fire? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Who knows what I'm talking about being on fire for God? Let me ask you this question. Are you on fire for God? Oh, it's really, really quiet in here. Remember the days you were excited about offering time? Pastor, don't go there. Excited about tithing, excited about giving, because you knew when you planted that seed, God didn't know how God was going to do it, but He was going to take it and He was going to multiply it back. Pressed down, shaking together, and running over. Because you're excited. I mean, you just don't know what's going to happen in the day, who's going to give to you, or what miracle's going to happen. You're just expectant. But now it's almost like we expect, instead of saying something good, we think something bad's going to happen to me today. You're almost afraid to go out there and be with people because you think something bad is going to happen. And so we just lock ourselves up in our little cocoon with our TV set. Not me. Not me. And I'm not going to live that way. That's not why I got into the ministry. That's not why I'm pastoring. That's not me. And I hope to God it's not you. Look over in Philippians 3, and you know, you can get to the place where you can't even understand this, but Philippians 3, verse 8. I haven't even got to the meat of my message, so you all need to pray to get ready for that part. If you want to leave, I recommend you leave right now. Because it ain't going to get any easier. So, run for the hills. Seriously, run. Philippians 3:8, Amplified, says this: yes, furthermore, I count everything as lost compared to the possession of the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth, and supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, and progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, of perceiving and recognizing and understanding Him more fully and clearly. For His sake, I have lost everything and consider it all to be mere rubbish, refuge, dregs, in order that I may win, gain Christ, the Anointed One. Let's go on down to verse 12. Not that I have now attained this ideal or have already been made perfect, but I press on to lay hold of, grasp, and make my own that for which Christ Jesus the Messiah has laid hold of me and made His own. I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made it my own yet, but one thing I do, it is my one aspiration. This, you know, that's pretty strong there. It is my one aspiration, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I understand it's been tough. I understand some rough things have happened in the past. I understand some people have hurt you. I understand, you know, the dream has been squashed. I understand, you know, you try to step out and things happen. I understand all those things. But faith people get back up and go at it again. We get back up and we trust the Lord and we dust ourselves off and we go back at it again. More determined than ever. Because He's not going to let you fail. He's not going to let the plan that He has for you not come to pass. But one thing I do, it is my one aspiration, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. He's got a prize. We're believers. He's taking us someplace. He's taking us to a good place. But we can get off. And for a lot of different reasons and a lot of excuses. It's amazing when we're working with churches for outreach and you know, we've heard this over in Australia and we've heard this in Ohio and other places. They have all kinds of excuses of why it won't work there. Well, how is that fair that it'll work here, but it won't work there? Are we just some kind of special people? We have a special anointing, some kind of special calling that God will only do miracles and win people and all that He does. Baptism of the Holy Spirit, He'll only do that here, but they're so hardened somewhere else. I don't know. I think people are the same everywhere. I think there's lost people and saved people everywhere. But we can have all these excuses of why it'll work for somebody else, but it'll work for me. It'll work for whosoever. It'll work for whoever will call upon the name of the Lord. He desires all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. What He does for one person. Now, we may have different ministries. Not everybody's going to speak to thousands of people. Some apostles, you know that, prophets, all that. But He's got something exciting for all of us. And He'll do these things. But it has a lot to do with expectations. And that's why we spend time in the Word, because the Word feeds our spirit and renews our mind, and that seed that's planted in your heart, it produces faith, and faith is expectancy, faith is trust. So you trust God to do what He said He will do. And then I love Ephesians 3:20. He'll do super abundantly more than we dare. See, when you're a faith person, you're going to start daring to do. Get out of the comfort zone and start doing things like Peter walking on the water. Super abundantly, more than we dare ask or think or hope or dream or pray. But see, you get so weary and you get so distracted, you stop asking. You don't even think about it anymore. And certainly we don't pray about it because we don't have any prayer time. Don't go any further with that. Prayer? What's prayer? What are you talking about? See, we're making room for Jesus because our lives get so crowded, we got to make room for Jesus. If you want Him to do, I'm getting ahead of myself here, if you want Him to do the things that He did 2,000 years ago, you got to make room for Him. And all that crowd of stuff that's suffocating you and suffocating the fruit, there's got to be some changes. So I believe some changes are happening today. They've already been happening here, but I believe there's some changes happening today. I believe that God is opening your eyes to blind spots. Opening your life to open your mind to things that maybe are getting in the way of what God has for you. Now let's get here to the heart of the message. Let's go over to Hebrews 12. I guess you stayed. You're being bold and fearless. You didn't run. And so if the Lord's already dealing with you already, I'm going to give you a scripture that's going to help you and to know what to do now. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. First of all, there is a great cloud of witnesses watching each and every one of our races. And in there is the Hall of Fame of Faith. There's the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11. My grandparents are there. Susie's grandparents are there. Ralph is there. Other ones that we know. They're all watching our race. Now, we just recently had the Home Run Derby. Anybody watch that before the All-Star game? One hand. See, you guys are already doing this. You're letting some stuff go here. Or you just hate baseball, so it doesn't matter. But if you're in the Home Run Derby, and you have all the Hall of Fame greats there, all the Hall of Fame home run hitters, and they're watching you, don't you think, and you knew they were going to be there, don't you think you'd kind of step it up a little bit? Don't you think during the Derby you'd want to impress some people? Wouldn't you want to say, hey, that was a good hit? But see, we've forgotten that we're citizens of heaven. We really have no, you know, and not only that, but God is watching. But it's like we've gotten so callous, we have no awareness that we're citizens of heaven, and no awareness that there's a cloud of witnesses watching us, cheering us on. And the things that they care about are things of faith. And the things that they care about are God's plan on the earth. But we're more concerned about all the other stuff which the cloud of witnesses could care less about. They don't care what house you live in, what car you drive, how you're dressed, your hairstyle, whether you do your nails or not. Again, I'm not saying don't, you know, do your nails. Take a shower. They don't care about that, but yeah, for us, our sake. But the cloud of witnesses, they're cheering us on. And so that should elevate our game. That should elevate our performance. Now it says, lay aside the weights and the sins. What does that mean? Lay aside means to put it down and push it away out of your reach. Lay it down, push it aside, and push it out of your reach where you can't get to it. This talks about weights. Weights are anything that burden you down, that add to you, that stops you from running your race in a fast way. Now, I don't know if there's any mountain climbers here, but let's just say you were going to climb Mount Everest. Would you strap on a 300-pound pack on your back before you climbed the mountain? No, you wouldn't do it because you want to be light. You're going to go through every item in that backpack to make sure that you're as light as possible, because everything in there is going to weigh you down and hinder your climb. So these weights, they necessarily may not be bad things, but are they the best things? And that's where we've got to hear from heaven and hear from God. Is this a God thing or is this just a good thing? Because so many good things can crowd out the Word. A whole lot of good things can crowd out the Word. And you become fruitless. And isn't that sad, because you're wanting to do good, but you're not able to? How many know sometimes you're doing so many things, you're really not doing any of the things well? God's plan is for you to bear fruit. Now let's talk about sin. People don't like to talk about sin anymore, I understand. But sin is missing the mark. You've heard that before. It's failure. It's the wrong course. But sin, what it does is it leads to guilt. That's how you know when there's things in your life, you feel guilty about it. But here's a good test for when something may enter into the sin realm, when you don't want anybody to know about it. If you're doing things that you don't want your mate to know, or your friends to know, or if it became in public, you may be getting over in, I would say you probably are, getting over into the sin area. And you've definitely, whatever that is, you got to lay it down. I heard this the other day, and it just shocked me. It was talking about a minister's convention at a particular hotel, and they said at that conference the rate of pornography went to its highest level based on the viewing of the rooms during the ministers' conference. You know, what are we watching? Oh, well, we're above that. I'll just say this. Pornography or any of that kind of thing, it's not good for you. It's not going to bless you. It's not going to make you more fruitful. Really quiet. But what are the things? What are the things? I mean, it may be, you know, and again, talk about weights or sin. It doesn't really matter. It may be any kind of relationships. Sometimes you got to let relationships go. Sometimes, again, you know, habits, bad habits. If you're abusing drugs here today and you know who you are, you need to get help. I'll just go ahead and tell you right now. I don't know anybody. I mean, you might be, but I mean, it is destroying you. It is destroying you, and you need to get help. And we need outside help sometimes. Sometimes we can't do it on our own. If you're abusing alcohol, go home today and throw it all out. If you've got books that are not helping you and they're just getting you off course, go throw them in the trash can today. Drugs, go just toss it out, pour it down the toilet today. Let it go. You got problems with pornography, put your computer in the main room, put it, you know, right there where everybody can see what you're watching. If you got problems with alcohol, you don't go hang out in the bar. Well, I'm above that. Well, even, you know, you're going to have a weak moment. You've got to set up protections, safeguards. And if you need outside help, humble yourself and go get help. Because it's hindering you. And I don't want to have regrets 20 years down the road of what could have been for some stupid drug or whatever. But the enemy's trying to snare you and to entrap you in some of these relationships, maybe on Facebook. You need to cut it off. Maybe it hasn't gone too far, I don't know, but you need to cut it off. Some of these relationships and, you know, flirting and all other, some of these things, you just need to cut it off because it's not going in a good direction. If you were strong, you wouldn't be there. We're laying it aside, we're laying it down and pushing it way out of our reach because we're going towards the prize of the high calling because God's got something more exciting than this naked woman over here. Am I being straight enough with you? Or whatever. He's got something fulfilling and exciting for you and you're going to, you know, you're kind of torn. I mean, I don't know if I can let go of that. I mean, how am I going to make it? Let go of it and reach towards what Jesus has. And the power of God's going to come. I won't read it, but Matthew 18 talks about if your foot or your hand or your eye, you know, if they're having problems with those things, cut it off. We're not going to be cutting off any hands or feet today or plucking out any eyeballs. Thank God. I don't think that would be good for church growth. And some religions take that seriously and they do it. I would say it's probably pretty effective. But we're not saying, but you do have to do things in order. Don't have to do that, but the principle is set up some safeguards so that those things don't happen anymore. Get help. Have accountability. Tell somebody that you can trust. Keep you accountable. And walk together on those things. Jesus is the end of our journey, but He's also our companion in the journey. In order to go a long distance, you know, if we're hiking or whatever, in order to go a long distance, the lighter we are, the better. Right? It's a time right now to discard some things. Sin or weights. You know, when the runner, you know, is going to be running in the race, I mean, they strip off everything possible. They cut their hair. I mean, they cut their nails. I mean, anything that's going to hinder them from running the race, they, you know, they'd strip down. They would be naked. I'm saying naked a lot today. But they could be naked. I mean, they would, in order to run the race with speed. And don't look at me like that, Gary. But you got to make some deliberate decisions to make permanent change. Looking unto Jesus, He's the author and the finisher of our faith. That's true. Hopefully that. We have a goal to be in the image and likeness of Christ. To be like Him in the world. Now, I have some encouragement for you. Now, if you're willing and if you're open to lay aside weights and sins, okay? You're not going to be alone in this. I remember Jesus in the garden when He was praying and He was saying, you know, Lord, if You could take this cup, can You take this cup? And He was really struggling with the whole thing. I mean, can you imagine carrying sin and sickness and poverty, going to the cross? He knows He's going to go to hell. I mean, all the different things. I mean, how do you... The Bible says that the angels strengthened Him. They ministered to Him and strengthened Him. If you make this decision and make a commitment to make some changes, the angels, read about it in Hebrews, ministers to those that are heirs of salvation. But then I'm not going to just stop there. Jesus Himself is going to help you. Philippians 4, verse 13, Amplified says this, "Have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me." I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses me with inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. See, you've already been given the power over sin. The enemy wants you to believe you don't have that power, but at becoming a new creation, you already have it. Jesus will strengthen you to walk in that power. I'm not saying you'll be perfect. If you get out, fine if you are. But I tell you, He'll empower you. But you've got to be willing and obedient. You've got to be willing to be sensitive. You've got to be willing to yield. You've got to be willing to lay some things down. And then we've been reading this verse a lot. My last verse today. Philippians 2, verse 12, Amplified says this, "Therefore, my dear ones, as you have always obeyed my suggestions, so now, not only with the enthusiasm you would show in my presence, but much more because I'm absent. Work out, cultivate, carry out to the goal and fully complete your own salvation with reverence and awe and trembling, self-distrust with serious caution, tenderness of conscience, watchfulness against temptation, timidly shrinking from whatever might offend God." That's a good question. This thing that I'm about to do, will it offend God and discredit the name of Christ? So that's our part, to be, have that sensitivity. Now look what the Lord will do in verse 13. Not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectively at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire both to will and to work for His good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. Today's a good day to start laying it down. Today's a good day to make some changes. Today's a good day to say, okay, I'm going to get out of the comfortable realm and start getting back into the uncomfortable realm. And the Lord's going to show you if I need to get help, again, with drugs, alcohol, pornography, other things. Susie and I, I've already told you this, we went to 2 years of marriage counseling every week. Why did I do that? Because I needed help. If I could have changed it on my own, I would have. I'm a faith person. But we needed help, and I wanted the best for our marriage, and I wanted to do all I could for our marriage. So I reached out. It was very humbling. It was not easy. There was a time during that thing where I got so mad at Susie and the counselor. I thought they were ganging up on me. This is your pastor now. While I was pastoring, I slammed the door and walked out. Now, I didn't cuss, but I wanted to. I probably would have felt a little better had I cussed. But I'm willing to get help if I need help. Because I'm going somewhere. God's got this prize, and there's these things that are holding us back. They're weighing us down. And I want to tell you this. It's not as easy, I mean, not as hard as you think, because I tell you, I when I got saved, I had an alcohol problem. I was drinking 5 times a week, at least. Going out and blackouts and all of that and drinking on my own and young guy, 19 years old. I got saved. I got delivered of that. Is He the same God? Is the gospel just as real? We could have today, during this service, a whole bunch of people just set free in the name of Jesus. I believe that Jesus is real. I believe the power of God is real. But let me ask you, are you open to that power? Do you want that power? Are you hungry and thirsty for more of God today? Can He do it today? Well, let's believe with each other for that to happen. Now, I'm going to do something bold, and you may or may not respond. It's okay. It doesn't really matter. I mean, I hope you do, for those it's for. But I want everybody that's ready to lay down a weight or a sin, I want you to get up out of your seat, and I want you to come down here to the altar. Well, Pastor, what will they think of me? They're going to judge me. Who gives a flip? Who cares? I want what God has for me. I'm looking unto Jesus. And so, for me, I'm just going to get real with God. You can play your games, and you can do your cover-up, and all the things, that's fine. Go ahead and keep on playing that. But I want what God has. I want His best. I want the power. And we just let pride get in the way. Some of you, you just given up. Don't give up. Hallelujah. Let's just worship Him. Everybody just stand. Let's just worship Him. And I know there's folks out there, you're not willing to lay some things down, but, you know, pray about it and maybe you'll do it another day. Hallelujah.